Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Lamed Beis. Acharei hadvarim v'ho'emes ho'ele. Bo Sancheriv l'melech Asher v'yevad Yehuda. Comes Sancheriv, the king of Asher. He comes to Yehuda. He comes to encamp against Yehuda. V'yichan al he'orim habitzuros. He encamps opposite fortified cities. V'yomer, and his plans are, he makes it public knowledge, Levikom elof, to break them open. His plan is to conquer and destroy the cities of Yehuda, and specifically Yerushalayim. Now this parak appears in two other places with a lot more details in Sefer Melachim and in Sefer Yeshaya. Here it appears to be a much shorter version. There in Melachim, I think it's something like 68 psukim, and here it's only 28. The entire story is condensed in 28 psukim. There are many details that are left out of Sefer Devarim, and the Mefarshim here explained they're relying that we know already what it says in Sefer Melachim and Sefer Yeshaya, so it's not necessary to tell us all the details. However, there are details, there are things that are presented here in Sefer Devarim that are not there. And that obviously is very important for us to focus on the differences between what's here and what already has been taught to us elsewhere. According to Rabbi Eisenman, the main thrust between Sefer Devarim and Sefer Melachim Yeshaya is Sancheriv was planning a war against Hashem. That's the theme which emerges, which is presented here. In Sefer Melachim, Sefer Yeshaya, it's more there's a war. He has practical considerations. Melech Asher wants to dominate the world. He wants control. He wants tribute. He wants to show the world who's the boss. It's not necessarily presented in the form that he's waging a war against Hashem, a religious war. It's not 100% correct, because there are definitely expressions in Sefer Melachim which do signify that there was some religious goal. However, the main thrust of Divrei Hayom is it is a religious war against Hashem. And what we have here is more of the Melchemes Goyg u'Magog, being that the entire first two parak, the two previous parak, in Perak Lam, Lam and Aleph, is where Chizkiyahu views himself very clearly as the reincarnation of David, his Melech Mashiach. This now is the war of Melchemes Goyg u'Magog. It's painted very much in those terms, Melchemes Goyg u'Magog. So here it says, after these hadvarim v'ha'emes ha'ela, he comes and he encamps against the fortified cities, and the question is, what is an acharei? Let's right away look at the mitzudos, pasuk aleph, acharei, what's acharei? Ratzolemar, achar hadvarim ha'toiv ma'ela, she'osu yichizkiyo be'emes, l'shem Hashem, after the previous two parakim. The previous two parakim is nothing more than pure praise. Chizkiyahu accomplished incredibly great things in the previous two parakim. He immediately restored the godless of Klal Yisrael to its place. Mikol Mokoyim, nevertheless, Bo Olav Sancheriv, they were under attack and they suffered. The Jewish people suffered very much. So in other words, what it's saying over here is, despite, although, Achor here means, even though they tried so hard to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they fell short. Klal Yisrael was not on the level, the spiritual level, where they were deserving to be spared from any harm or any suffering. And Klal Yisrael suffered very much at this point in time. All of the cities besides Yerushalayim were indeed conquered. It's very clear in Sefer Melachim that the only holdout was Yerushalayim. But besides Yerushalayim, every other city indeed was conquered by Sancheriv. And he exiled, people were exiled, just like the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled by Sancheriv. Many people in Yehuda were also exiled. So there was indeed a very great degree of suffering that did occur at this point in time. And we would expect, being that Klal Yisrael, they did enormous tshuva, did incredible tshuva. They brought the Karban Pesach, they brought Oilos, they did so many good things to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you'd expect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would reciprocate and Hashem would forgive our sins and let us live at peace. That was not the case. The case was where indeed there was a lot of, Klal Yisrael did not reach the level of Kedusha that Yechizkiyahu wanted for them, and therefore they did have to suffer at this point in time. That's clearly how the Mitzudos learns this pasuk.
But the people did go to learn and to
they did, like we know, in Noatz Chedev, Tinek V'Tinekes, we mentioned it many times. But still, it was short of what was expected of them. It's not clear. It was still short of the goals that they were striving to achieve. And that's why they did suffer. There was enormous suffering during this period of time. There was starvation, there was captivity, there were all these horrible things. A lot of that is not presented here. Most of the horrors are presented more clearly in Sefer Melachim and Sefer Yeshayah. We pretty much skip over that part. Next words of the Mesudos, Chashav Lubakam, his plan was to breach the cities, and he did so. His plan was to penetrate the fortified cities, and he did so. Means he said in his heart, he said in his mind, this is my plan. It does not say here if he succeeded, but it's self-understood from the context, and indeed he did succeed. He did penetrate most of the fortified cities. Okay, Rashi, Pasuk, Aleph, Achare, Hadvam, Hadvam, after these matters, and the sincerity, emissary means the sincerity of their attempt to return to Hashem. Vayim ulivakam, kimo ulivakam, same as the Mesudos, kimo ulivakam, kimo al-machram ekesef, kimo machram, al-machram ekesef, it means that his, vayim ulivakam, kimo li, kimo livakam, he said livakam basically means, he's just quoting another pasuk. No, kmo levakam. I'm not sure what he means here. He means that his plan was to penetrate, to breach, open the walls. The kmo al machram, the kesef, they sold Yosef for kesef. Kmo machram, same idea, they actually sold him. The samachlo al bakam, al bakam harus hagilad upisroina v'digmaso v'nik be'ina, will break it open. Vayibaka atse oila, he cut atse oila into two parts. The point is that the word beka means to split, to breach, to make openings in the fortified cities. Pasuk beis. Vayar yich hiskiyahu kivas an cheref.
Why is it achar rei rather than achar?
So, because it's direct ach. So what does Chazal say? Acharei hadvar mo'ele.
You never see that.
I don't know the answer. I don't know. I'm looking for that. Pasuk beis. Vayar Yechizkiyahu kivo sanchev ufonov lamelchama. Yechizkiyahu saw that sanchev is rot ufonov lamelchama, and he has set his face on waging war al Yerushalayim. Pasuk gimel vayivatz. So what did Yechizkiyahu do? How did he respond? He's counseled vayivatz im sodav v'gibarav listoim esmei mehuayanos. He sealed up the springs. He felt that if the enemy is coming in those times, in this war, the enemy also needs water. The enemy needs food. How will the enemy survive? So there were natural springs in that area, out in the vicinity of Yerushalayim, which Sancheriv would use to support himself while he wages war against Yerushalayim. So Yechizkiyahu was a chacham, is a chacham remes in the last. So he figured, what is he going to do? He's going to starve the enemy. And the way he's going to starve the enemy is by sealing up these springs before Yechizkiyahu arrives on the scene. So by Yivot, now this was a controversial plan, and we're going to see the Chazal were not pleased. This is one of the three things that Chazal were unhappy with what he did, even though the pasuk seems to indicate that they were pleased. Okay, we'll get that a little bit later on. Because by sealing up the water, you're also going to cause harm to the people who live there. The water supplied, the fountain supplied water for the residents of Yehuda. So although the greater picture of things, you're starving the enemy, but you're also starving your own people. So is it kedai to bring harm to your own people for the greater benefit of course starving the enemy? Yes or no? That was the very big debate. Yechizkiyahu, this obviously was a very great dilemma, and he counseled with his people, Vayivatz im sarav yigibarav, listam esmeme hayanos, to seal the springs, asher michutz lo'ir, vayazruhu, and they supported his decision. The sarav, which simply is the Sanhedrin, and the gibarav, they support his decision that it would be a good idea to seal these fountains so that when the enemy comes, they will not have what to drink, even though this would be at the expense of the people, they will also not have what to drink. Pasuk Dalet. Vayikavsu Amrav. So the entire, they assemble a very large gathering. Vayistimu es kol hamayonos, and they sealed all of the springs. Vayes hanachal hashoteh v'soch aretz lemar, and they closed up the stream which flowed through the land, saying, Lama yavohu malchei Ashur umotzu mayim ram. Why should we make this available for our enemy? Pasuk Hey. Vayischazak. He strengthened himself. Vayiven es kol achoyma haputz. Now he planned for war. And the way he planned for was by fortifying the city of Yerushalayim. But even by the way, this took place in the 14th year of his Malchus, this Muhammad. Everything that we learned in Pasuk, Perek Aleph and Perek Beis took place in the first year. Took place immediately after he became king. Now it's 14 years later. And they find themselves threatened by Sancheriv. They rebuilt the breached wall. They reinforced Vayal al Hamigdolos, and they caused the new wall to be even higher than the old wall. So on the towers, the wall, normally a tower is above the wall. That's the way in war, you have a city, you have a wall, and then you have, in the city, you have a very large tower where you can look out. Here they fortified the city to the degree where the wall was built higher than the original tower. Vayal al Hamigdolos v'lachutza hachom acheres, they built a second wall. Okay, this is a technique, a wall within a wall. So just in case the first wall is breached, so then there'll be a backup, there'll be a second wall. And I guess inside the two walls, there was some type of a moat. They filled it up with water, or they did have different techniques in order to prevent the enemy from coming. For the chutzah hachoyim acheres, they built outside the chutzah, outside the wall, another wall. For yichazik es hamilo, ir David. The milo was an open area. This was a public space where people gathered together. It seems that this was an entranceway to the city. It was vulnerable. If this area was conquered by the enemy, they would have access to the entire city. We don't know the geography exactly what it looked like, but this milo means a mole, a place that was filled with people. A square, a town square. This town square was fortified to prevent the enemy from entering. The city of David. He made weapons. Okay, stimulated the economy. They spent enormous amount of money on the shalach, means a weapon. And Larov Umaginim, and defense mechanisms. Weapon is for the offensive, and the Maginim is defense. Pasuk Vav Ayitein Sari Milchamas Al Ha'am. He put everyone, he recruited, he called up the reserves, he put everyone, he trained them for war. Vayik B'tzei Melov, they gathered to him, El Rechav Shar Hu'ir, Vayidaber Al Levavam Leymar. Now he gives a very passionate speech. This is really the theme of Sefer Divrei Hayamim, and then we can be certain that this is really what Ezra and Nehemiah were drawing attention to when they wrote this Sefer, to remind the people of who are the Goyla, the people who are coming back to Yerushalayim, don't be scared by their numbers. Come to the return to rebuild the Bayis Sheni and recognize Hashem is with you. If Hashem is with you, you will prevail even though you are outnumbered. Chizku v'yimsu, be strong and be strengthened. Al tiru, do not be afraid. V'al teichasu, do not be dismayed. B'bnei ha-melech Ashur, u'milufnei kol ha-moin asher imo, ki imonu rav mi'imo. It's very powerful. With us is greater than what is with him. What does it mean greater? They're not greater in number, that's for sure. What does it mean greater? What's Rav Nemo? Imo, he explains. Imo Zeroya Bosar. With him is physical strength. Vimanu Hashem Elokeinu. Leazreinu, to help us. Ulilochem Milchamo Isteinu, to fight our wars. And the people relied al Divrei Yechizkiel Melech Yehuda, and this is to their testament. This is a very great message. The people had faith in Yechizkiel. They listened to the words of Yechizkiel, that they were not afraid by the numbers. They recognized that Hashem is with them. Pasuk Tes. Okay, let's first read some of the Mesudas of the Rashi's here. Pasuk Beis. Upanav Sampanav Lifnos Lilochem Yushlaim Sancheiriv, set his eyes on destroying Yerushalayim. Listom Shalayim. So now he took counsel. This was a very big debate. Should he go and should he close up the water supply? So listam shel yimsa mayim lishtos vayelech lo, he won't find water, and if there's no water, he would starve. So what would Sancheriv do? He would have no choice but to retreat. Vayazruhu. Oh, that was inside. That was another thing that he did. See, that's not mentioned.
The stopping up of the spring.
That was outside. For the inside, that was part of the. A lot of these details are not presented here. They're presented in more detail in Sefer Melachim, where, and there it's only said incidentally. It's said at the very, very end. Is that in addition to closing up the springs for the outside, he built, where he dug springs, or he redirected those springs underground for the people of Yerushalayim that they should have water to drink.
Yeah, but I'm looking at it in terms of, you said this was one of the sins that he committed.
Correct.
In reality,
it makes sense.
The effect of closing up the outside water by bringing the water into the city.
Well, that was true. That was
true.
That was true for the people of Yerushalayim, but it wasn't true for the people on the outskirts. People who lived in all the other cities, who until they were relying upon that water, they would now be in a lot of trouble. Their whole economy and their whole culture will be dried up. They would be the people of Yerushalayim. He improvised. He made for them. You know, he provided water for them. So it wasn't so simple. But here, anyways, he needs to have emunah. By al derech hateva, there's no way he would survive. They're outnumbered. They're outnumbered with power and numbers. And so anyway, you need to come out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the new deal? So just have a little more faith and don't worry about the water. They'll have water, so don't worry about it. So Hashem will still cause you to prevail, which was true. So he did a shtadlus, right? So the question is, how much a shtadlus do you do? That is a question that cannot be answered, because every person, every generation, every situation is different. And they obviously were on a very high level. We know that Chizkiyahu was meant to be Melech HaMashiach. We're not dealing over here with simple people. So that was the question of where on his madrego was his ishtadlus too much or too little. For us, we would say, this is nothing for us, right? And this, we would have to use a lot more ishtadlus. But they're not judged on our standards. Okay, let's take a look at this. There's a lot more. It's not so silly, because over here this pasuk says, it says that they agreed. This is a very big topic of discussion. It says Vayivatzim Sodav, and the Radak talks about this. I don't have a Radak, I have to get the other volume. The Radak talks about this, because here it says Vayivatz later on in the parak, Vayivatzim Sodav Yigbarav. Who did he take counsel with? It says Pasuk Gimel Sarav. Who are Sarav? Simply assuming the Sanhedrin. And it says Vayazru, they assisted him. They agreed. So what does what then do Chazal mean when Chazal say that this was one of the things he did, and they were not pleased? So one of the answers is there were different. There was another spring. There were different springs. There were different rivers and different sources of water. They were upset with something else. This was proper. This, there was no complaint. This was a shtanlus. There was no complaint. Okay, maybe we'll see that a little later on towards the end of the parak. Okay, let's take a look at the Mesudas Pasuk Dalit. Besoch Haaretz, Michutz, the Yerushalayim Pasuk Dalit says everyone gathered. They all gathered. All of the people of Yehuda gathered together to participate in the project of closing up those fountains to starve the enemy. Pasukei, Vayal. And then they rebuilt the walls, they strengthened the walls. The walls were built above the towers. Rotzalaymar Higbia Esachoima Lamalamin Hamigdalos Luchutsam and Achoima Hibana Oid Choima Heretz Fichisik Pirtus Hamelo Shahoi Sabir David. They built an additional wall and they strengthened the Milo. So they strengthened the original wall, they built an additional wall, and they were mechazek the milo, and they closed up the springs of water. All of this was the shtadlus to prepare for war. Pasuk Ches, and now he gives them a pep talk. He gathers them and tells them, do not worry, we have more than they. They have Zeroya Basar. Ezras Zeroya Basar. But what do we have? We have Hashem. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi. Pasuk Hey, Vaychazik es Hamilo, Dugma Vayivin es Hamilo, similar to building the Milo. David built the Milo. The Milo was the purpose of gathering, public gatherings took place in this area. Vayash Shalach Larev, he built weapons, manufactured weapons, Klei Zayin, Dugmas, Ish Shulcho, Biyodo, each person has a weapon in his hands, Ish Shulcho, Shulcho, Mayim, each person. I'm not sure what that means there in Nehemiah, we learned that. I'm not sure what that means there. Another pasuk where the word shulchan refers to a weapon. Okay, first to a weapon. Pasuk Yud, Okay, next. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Tes. Achar Zeh. Okay, after this, after the preparations for the war, Shalach Sancheirib el Chashu Avod of Yushalayimah, he sent his messenger to Yushalayim Leimah, v'hu al Lachish, and the messenger reached until Lachish, v'hu al Lachish, v'chol memshalto imo, he was al Lachish. At the time when he sent the messenger, he was fighting another city. He was battling Lachish. That was another city. Mitzudah says, "Well, Lachish also yinilcham al Lachish imo kol anshem memshalto, which is not far from Yerushalayim, v'chol memshalto imo al Yechizkiyahu melech Yehuda v'al kol Yehuda asher b'shalayim lemo." He sent the following message. Who did he send? He sent Rav Shake. Who was Rav Shake? Rav Shake was a Jew who went off the derech. Right, the worst anti-Semites are the Jews themselves.
Did you say that?
What? It says that in Malachim. It says in Malachim. A lot of the details are left out. Yishai also, right? Yishai has come out word for word what it says in Malachim. There are very few differences. The entire thing is repeated because most of Yishaya is all about Yechizkiyahu and the fall of Asher, because this was envisioned to be Melchemes Goig Umagog. And there's a very big question as if in Yeshaya, I think there are like 14 parakim where Yeshaya predicts the downfall of Sancheirib. And there's a discussion if Yechizkiyahu was aware of the prophecies of Yeshaya. Of course, at a later point in time, Yeshaya took his prophecies and he put them in writing. But was Yechizkiyahu exactly aware of exactly what Yeshaya said? L'chaira he was. So if he was, perhaps that's why he was confident that they would win. They have nothing to worry about. Okay, that's a discussion. Maybe if I'll have time to prepare, we'll get into more into that. But at this point in time, he sends a messenger. He sends this person, Rav Shaki. Rav Shaki used to be one of the soldiers, one of the generals for Yehuda, and he defected. He joined the opposition Melch Ashur, and he had the advantage. He knew the language. So they spoke at this point on Yehudis. They spoke at this point Hebrew, and that's what Rav Shaki did. He spoke to them in their mother tongue. And that way, everyone was able to hear his speech. If Rav Shaki would have spoken to Yechizkiyahu in the language of Ashur, okay, Assyrian, whatever language they spoke, then they would need interpreters. So no one would know what's going on. There would be some private conversation between the messenger of Ashur and the king. And then the king would say, "Don't worry about it, I got the message, and too bad for them." But unfortunately, Rav Shaki, he knew he was Jewish. He knew Hebrew. And when he spoke publicly in front of the entire tzibur, and he spoke in Hebrew, and everyone heard word for word what plans of Melech Asher, and there was no way to hide. It's transparency. See, we take it for granted. They say everything is out in the open. But in those days, not even so long ago, go back 50 years ago, go back 30 years ago, before the internet, not everything was in public. Not everything was public knowledge. There were a lot of things. There was a lot more secrets out there in the olden days than it was today. So it would have been very easy to hide the severity, the scope of what's about to happen, how Asher is planning to wipe out Klal Yisrael. But Rav Shaki made a public knowledge by speaking in Hebrew in front of the entire tzibur. Let's see. Where was he? He was on the way. He was conquering the Tzikol Lachish. And he sent a message in advance. I guess it wasn't so far. Lachish is not so far from Yerushalayim. The following message. Sancheirib Melech Asher. So says the king of Sancheirib. Al mo'atem boitchem the Yeshim b'matzor b'Yerushalayim. What are you having faith in? What's going on here? I see. I have word. I have spies that have told me that you're planning for war. You've sealed up the springs. You've built walls, towers. You've fortified the Milo. What do you have faith in? The Yeshim, and you're sitting now b'matzor in the siege b'Yerushalayim. You fortify your walls. Hello. Now here he goes and he says some very interesting things. Yechizkiyahu meses eschem. Your king Yechizkiyahu is deceiving you. He's masses eschem. He's deceiving you. He's leading you astray. Lo says eschem lamus b'ra'av. You follow this course of action, you're going to die in starvation with some thirst. Lamar, and he's telling you words of nonsense. Hashem Elokeinu Yatzilenu Mikaf Melech Ashur. Hashem Elokeinu will save us from the hand of Melech Ashur. So he goes on and said that your king Yechizkiyahu is a sinner. Now, Rav Shoke and Melech Ashu, they totally misunderstood Yechizkiyahu. They knew what he did the last 14 years, and specifically within the first year of his Malchus, that Yechizkiyahu destroyed the Bamos, he destroyed the Asheros, he destroyed all forms of worship. And that was, of course, a very good thing, because you're not allowed to offer korbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash. But Melech Asher didn't understand that. He thought it would have been better, Hashem would have preferred, that every person have in his backyard a Mizbeach. A Mizbeach, and you offer korbanos to Hashem. And even that in the Masuda says, he even thought that it's a good thing to offer sacrifices to the Asherah, because the Asherah is an extension of Hashem. I don't know what that means exactly. One of the Mefarshim made the Radak, and one of the Mefarshim says that. So this Melech Asher destroyed all of these extra altars and Asheros. Yechizkiyahu destroyed them. Yechizkiyahu is a sinner. He has sinned against your God. And even if you believe in God, God's angry at you, and He's going to punish you for taking away His service. That's of course foolish, but that's what he said. Now it could very well be, he was playing a psychological game with the people. That the people, it's not that long after Ochos. Ochos, the people were very great sinners, and the people also they worshipped the Bamos. All of the kings until this point in time did not destroy the Bamos. They let the Bamos. Oh, but you're not allowed to offer an Obama. No, better do an Avera Lishma than do an Avera Shelo Lishma. Obviously, the kings felt, like, you know, I will give you an example. You go to Shul, you're allowed to read the pamphlets during Chazaras Hashatz. It's Osir. You're not allowed to read Torah pamphlets that are lying on the table during Chazaras Hashatz. Go look in Shulchan Aruch, go look anywhere you find. There's no way you're going to find a Heter. Yet, everyone does it. And the Rabbanim don't, not all, but many Rabbanim let it go. Why do they let it go? They have much bigger battles to fight than letting people, fighting with people not to read Torah pamphlets during Chazaras Hashatz. Same thing when it comes to the Bamos. According to one interpretation, they're offering korbanos on a Bama outside the Beis HaMikdash. It's Chayvei Krisus. But people don't know that. What you don't know is good for you. You don't know it, so you're offering a carbon l'Hashem l'Shem Shemayim. Better offer a carbon l'Shem Shemayim on a Bama than offer a carbon l'Shem Avodah Zarah. Give them an outlet to serve Hashem, then stifle them, and they'll end up serving gods. So over here, Melech Ashur Sancheriv, and said to his representative Rav Shake, is telling him, You know, you were better off the other way. You were better off doing the Avera, doing an Avera, L'Shem Shamayim, than what you have now. Because now he took away the Bamos, he stifled you, you can't serve Hashem, and that's caused you to sink further into Avodah Zarah, and Hashem is not pleased. He's playing with them. So people are listening now, is Rav Shaki correct? Absolutely not. He's wrong. 100% wrong. But the people are weak, they're spiritually weak. And if you tell them things that are not true, propaganda, you manipulate their minds. You manipulate their minds, and even though Yechizkiyahu is correct and he's wrong, you're putting seeds in their mind. Maybe we would have been better the other way around. Maybe Hashem is not pleased that we took away the Bamos. And people begin to second to doubt themselves, and they feel Hashem is not with us, and now when we're going to fight, we're going to lose. Okay, it's a very complex psychological warfare with the people of Israel. Yeah.
Yes, up to a point. I don't see that, you know.
How else do you make sense of this?
Wait. The part that I don't see is saying, better to sin. Sinning is not in their equation. It's not, you know, they're speaking from their perspective as Ote Avodah Zarah. And he deprived you of your bummer so you could daven.
That's a very simple interpretation. I agree. That's the pashup shot. That is a very simple interpretation. However, was Rav Shaki, were they so ignorant? They didn't know.
Rav Shaki was
apikoros, apostate.
A conservative Jew who left them 15,
right.
20 years ago, before Chizkiyahu was
right,
there.
Right.
This is normal life. He didn't know that Chizkiyahu.
Okay, that's pashup shot. That is parasha. But why does the pasuk go so far to emphasize this? This, you know, we're very selective here in Devar Yom, what we're going to mention. Only 28 psukim instead of 68 psukim about the story. We're very selective. Why this theme appears here and in Melachim and in the Yeshaya? Why is this being emphasized? He was so ignorant. Was Rav Shaki so ignorant that he didn't know that according to halacha it's aser? Okay, so you can say yes. That is definitely. But I'm trying to give it a little more life, a little more chis. Maybe Rav Shaki was very well aware that it's awesome. Maybe he went to cheder. He knew the halacha, but he knew how to play on people's weaknesses. People had a need to. So they were doing it obviously for hundreds of years, for 200 years. The bamos, rak ha bamos lohesa, rak ha bamos lohesa, over and over again. The bamos. What's going on with the bamos? We don't really know because we have no Yetzer HaAvodah Zarah, but obviously there was something to it. People had this connection, and even though it was Osir, and the kings allowed it, they looked the other way, perhaps he's just playing with them. He's saying, I know it's Osir, but it was still good. It was still good what you were doing, and he took that away from you, and now Hashem is not happy.
The king took God out of your house.
right. Yeah, exactly. He took away the bama. It's also, but it hit a chord in the hearts and minds of the people who themselves were not so religious. If you're dealing with, you know, ultra religious people, it's aser is aser. Shulchan aruch, shulchan aruch. But when you're dealing with people who are anyway very spiritually weak, and you tell them something which shakes them up, that weakens them. Like you go talk to a conservative person, he doesn't know the first thing about religion, and you start fadreing him. You can shake him up. That's perhaps what is happening over here. Otherwise, it's just, I feel that it's just too simplistic to say that Rav Shach gets up and he tells him something which is total shtus. Like we look at it today. Are you allowed to have a bama? It's chayve kresus to offer a carbon on a bama outside, the Beit HaMikdash. Everyone knows this. Every child knows this today. So what is he saying? The shtus, the Rav Shake. Teretz is these people were not very religious. They didn't know that, and they felt they were doing good by offering korbanos. And even though he knows it's aser, you know, you're trying to weaken to humiliate the people. Let's go further. Back to the Mitzudos. We did up to Pasek Zroi Basu Alachish, where were we up to over here? Pasek Al Pasek, let's go Pasek Tess. Pasek Tess Yubes.
Let's go up to
one. The Mitzudos?
No.
Okay, let's go to the Mitzudos Yuf. Let's go to the Mitzudos Pasek Yud. Alma. Ka'amar. Ima Yulachem Lubitach, Bitach, and Mali Natsel Miyadi. Hoya meharoy lo sheves b'motzer uv'motzer zman ma lahasik tachlis tov. So he says to him here in Pasuk Yud, what are you having faith in? If you want to have faith to be safe from me, you should have been like you should have fortified yourself long ago. Zman ma lahasik tachlis tov. Avulchol b'tochon. Avulhoil, Ubitochon Ayin, Ain, Vialkarchach Tunim Sermiyadi, Malachem Lashevis Bemotzar Tsumi Miyad, Eli, the Ivdu, the Ovdu Osi. If you want, then serve me. If you want to have had faith, you should have had faith a long time ago. It's too little, too late. You should have prepared yourself long ago. It's based at this point in time. It's too little, too late. That's what Sancheriv is telling them.
Zman ma means a long time, or zman ma means a short time.
A period.
Im hoya lochem bitachon. If you had faith, mali not sel miyadi, faith to save yourself from me. Hoya meharoi lo sheves b'motzer v'motzok zman ma. Lahasik tachlis tov. You should have. I'm not sure what this means. You should have prepared yourself seemingly a long time ago, zman ma, for a period of time to achieve a good result. Avol hoil bitochon ayin. Since you don't have any faith, uval karchach tiyunim sam biyadi, you're going to lose. Malachem l'sheves b'motzar. What are you sitting in the siege? Tzum yad elai v'avdu olsi. Leave the siege and come serve me immediately. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what he means. I don't know. Let's go to the next Mesudas Yud Aleph. Halo Yechizkiyahu Kama Hasasas Yechizkiyahu Toil Shetamusu Berav Uvitzama. He has misled you to die in famine and thirst. For lo l'toyva he ki oimer Hashem. Because what does he say? He says to you that Hashem will save you. Yatzilenu ve'in zebitachon, and he's giving you false hope. He's giving you false hope. Pasuk Yibeis. So we did Pasuk Yibeis.
No.
Okay. So let's go read the Pasuk Yibeis. What did he do? He went to remove the b'maysav. Yes, mizbuchesav. He made a very big mistake. Your king told you to only serve Hashem in one central location. This Rav Shaki is telling the people is just viewed as a sin. Halay seidu, you shall beware. Ne asisi. What I have done, Aniva said. Now he comes to brag. Okay, before we go to Pasuk Gimel, let's see the Mitzudas. Look at the Rashi's Pasuk Yibeis and the Mitzudas. Halohu, that's gods. Okay, that's come.
Sure, no.
Okay, that's okay. That's going to come next. Let's just finish up over here. Pasuk Yibeis and the Mitzudas. Halohu ki halohu bi atzmo heiser abamos. Your king is a sinner. He himself moved the bamos hanasim lemokim that were made for Hashem. Va'amar lochem lufnei mizbechecha teshachvu, and he convinced you to only serve Hashem for one mizbeach. Umiyet imkein ba'avodas elokav eich imkein ya'azru. He has diminished your divine service. How then can you be so foolish to think that Hashem is going to help you? Okay, Rashi. Let's look some of the Rashi's. Rashi pasuk yud. Al mo atem boitchem. What do you have faith in? Lefi shakasov v'Hashem lokei yishol botach. Gam ksev sham v'yimrad b'melech Ashur. V'chein omar al mo atem boitchem shemarad tobi. Because it says that you have faith in Hashem. This appears in Melachim. Melach, that's where this whole story appears. And it says they rebelled against Melech Ashur. So there's more details to the story. The details begin where they stop paying tribute. This all begins where, until this point in time, that the king, that the people of Yehuda were paying tribute to the king of Ashur, and now they decide enough is enough, no more taxes. So they rebelled. So he was very upset. So he says, "Who do you have faith in that you rebel against me?" The Yoshim b'Motzav Yishalayim, because it says Lamus Barava, but somehow he goes on to say that by following in this path, you're going to starve to death. Halahu Yichizkiyo Habotech Belokav Hu Hu Posha. He is a sinner. He has sinned. Vafilu Im Hoya Yecholus Lazar Lo Ye Oizro. Even if he had the ability to help you, he no longer will. Why? Ki chotoloi, because he has sinned against Hashem. How has Yechizkiyahu sinned against Hashem? Sheheiser es b'moisav, v'yes mizbechoisav, v'yom el Yehudu v'lishlam lefnei mizbeach Hashem, because he took away the bamos and the mizbeach, and he told you to serve. V'yom el Yehudu v'lishlam lefnei mizbeach echa teshtachavu, you shall bow down only in front of one mizbeach, v'loi mutav sheyesheh. Sheyishtachave v'lo mutav sheyishtachave Yehuda lufnei mizbech echav Yishalayim lufnei echad oshnayim v'yoyser. Wouldn't it be better to go and bow down in front of multiple mizbechos? Umamoyelecholam rav kazeh. How is it going to be sufficient? Everyone should come to one central location to offer korbanos. Sheyisuvum shekol oisam b'mo sheyser. Because he thought he made this mistake. Ashur and Melech Ashur and Rav Shake, that this destroying of the Bamos was not a good thing. Shakol Oysen Bamos Sheiser Kidalel Vayigdas HaAshera Shoyu Benuyim L'Shem Elokei Yisrael. They made the mistake to think that all of these Mizbechos that he destroyed were built in honor of Hashem. That was not necessarily true. Those Mizbechos that were built for Avodah Zarah, not for Hashem, but he thought they were built Hashem of the Zara. They were built Hashem Hashem, and he witnessed that Yechizkiyahu had them all destroyed, and that he viewed to be a sin against Hashem. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Now he begins to brag. Now he says, "Haloi, seidu me'asisi ani v'aloi sai l'cholam haratzos." Look what I've accomplished. I've conquered much greater things. Yerushalayim is child's play relative to my accomplishments. You think you're going to survive? Look what I have done, and my forefathers, l'cholam haratzos, all the nations of the land, hayochol Elohei goy haratzos, lahatz arsam yadi, were the gods of the other lands able to save their people from me? Mi b'chol Elohei agoyim ho'el asher hecharimu avosai, asher yochol. Is there any among all the gods of the nations that my fathers have destroyed, asher yachol hatzel asamum yadi, who are able to save their people from my hand? Ki yuchal, that you now make a mistake and think that your God is better. Ki yuchal elokeichem lahatzel aschem yadi. You think your God is better than the gods of the nations of the world. They could not save their people, so why do you think that your God will save you? V'ata pasik kezvav, al yasi aschem yechizkio, let him not lift you up. Don't let him give you false hopes. Yasi means to lift up, to elevate your hopes. The al, what?
Yashi.
Yashi, so yashi. Yashi, do not lift up. Val yashi eschem yechizkio, do not let him lift up your hopes. The al yasis eschem kazos, do not let him mislead you. The al taminu lo, do not have faith in him. Kilo yuchal, kol eloa, kol goyim amloch, lahatzil amom yodi, miyara vosai. Look at the rest of the world. No other God was able to save their people from me. Af certainly ki elokeichem lo yatzilu eschem miyadi, will not be able to save you. Pasuk Zayin, the od dibra avodav al Hashem ha'elokim v'al yichizkeu avdo, and his servants, not only did Rav Shake speak these horrible words, also his servants, he sent other messengers to Klal Yisrael, al Hashem ha'elokim v'al yichizkeu avdo. And okay, this is really a pasuk that does not appear in Sefer Melachim and Sefer Yeshaya. And here makes message this declares the theme that they spoke. Al who do they speak against? They spoke against Hashem, Hu Elokim, and Yechizkiel, the servant of Hashem. Their speech, their message was directed against Hashem. It was a rebellion against Hashem. Pasuk Yitzayim, Usram Kasaf, L'choref Hashem L'ke Yisrael, they sent letters to blasphemize Hashem L'ke Yisrael, V'leimar Olav, Leimar, Keilokei goy haratzos asher lo yitzil amam yadi. Same, it's already the third time it's saying this. Just like the gods and nations were not able to spare themselves, keim lo yatzil elokei yichizkel amam yadi, so too the God of Yichizkel will not save his nation from my hands. Pasuk Yuches, Vayikru v'kol gadol Yehudis. Now here he goes on to say, he called out in a very loud voice in Yehudis. This is emphasized much more in Sefer Melachim. He spoke to them in the Hebrew language. He did not speak to them in the language of the Assyrians. He spoke to them in Hebrew so everyone can hear the message. No one should need to come on to an interpreter to hear what he said. Al-Am, Yerushalayim, Asher al-Achayma, Liyaram, to the people that were standing around the wall, Liyaram, to instill within their hearts fear, Ulevahalam, to terrorize them, Laman Yilkudu Esair, in order that he should succeed in conquering the city. So this was the message that he sent in advance. Vaidabu El Elokei Yisrael, and he spoke to Elokei Yisrael, Ke'al Elokei Ame Aretz. Awa? Elokei Yerushalayim, he spoke concerning the God of Yerushalayim, Ke'al, the same way you speak about a God that has no value, Ke'al. Elokei Amei Haaretz Mas Seyidei Adam. That is the thing. These expressions are not in Melachim. This is what he tried to. He tried to delegitimize. He tried to smash the hopes, the emuna that Klal Yisrael had in Hashem, to make Hashem into just another God, not into the only God. Let's take a look at the Mesudas. Only very few. Pasik Tezvav Kozos. Bedvar habitachon kazos. Don't have faith in this false faith that he is giving you. Af ki kol shekein elokeichem lo yatzilu aschem chol vehisur yichizkiyahu es b'moisav k'mashkosav l'malo v'imkein ein lochem bitachon ma. Since Hashem is not going to come to your aid because you have sinned against him by destroying all of these b'mos. Tezayin v'od shedibru divrei chiruf. He spoke more words of blasphemy. He spoke them Yehudis yitches b'loshen Yehudis l'man yavinu kulam, in Hebrew everyone should understand. L'man yilkedu. The Choshram Sheyimos Levavim, their hearts will melt. For Lo Yatsu Kichli Lachem, he did this to demoralize them, so they will not fight. They will conquer the city very easily. Let's take a Rashi. Rashi pasuk Yedalit Hacharim Avosai Pol Melech Asher V'Tiglas Pelaser. So here we are mentioning different kings. Who was his father and grandfather? Pol and Tiglas Pil Eser. These are his predecessors. His predecessors, they conquered other nations, and now Sancheriv is the grandson. The oldest one was Pul, and then came Tiglas Pil Eser, and now is Sancheriv, a trial. Three generations of kings of Ashur, they conquered the entire world. In fact, we know that Chazal tell us that they were Mabalbel Kol Humos. That there's a whole question, Bizman HaZev, there's something called an Amalek. Is there something Bizman HaZev called the nation of Amalek? Is there something Bizman HaZev called the nation of Ammon and Moab? Because Melech Asher came along and he conquered the entire world, and his technique was to relocate you. If he conquered you, what does he do? How does he make you behave? He picks you up and he puts you in a different land. So you're not familiar. What?
Stalin
was thinking also?
He moved populations.
He moved populations, so you're not familiar with your environment. So you don't have time to rebel, to plan and plot, to make it better, because you don't even know, you don't feel secure.
He moved into Shomronim, right?
What?
He moved into Shomronim, Israel.
He did? Yeah, right, he did, right. He was the one who did, yeah, he moved, that's what the lions, yeah. Right, the Shomronim. He brought in from Asher, the Shomronim, the They were not religious, and the lions began to eat them up. They realized that they're living in a holy land, and they were Megayer, and it was a question, was the Geras sincere? So he conquered the entire world. The last holdout in the whole world was Yerushalayim. It's an amazing thing. Okay, then he sent letters, Pasuk Yitzayim, L'sfarim, Kasav, L'charv, Ezel, Eslokei, B'Molochim, U'Mishai, Ksiv, Ha'ikach, Hezkelis, Ha'sfarim, Yad, Ha'molochim, Ba'yikru. It says there more detail, he took letters and he read them, Vayal, Beis, Hashem, Vayaf, Rishay, Hezkel, Lefnei, Hashem, and part of, he made a very elaborate prayer. Hezkel, he got up on the roof, and he was mispalel, and the way he prayed was by rolling out the letters, and saying to Hashem, look at the Chil Hashem, look at this Russia, how he dares to say such horrible things. And the way he did that was through a ceremony, by putting the letters in the presence of all the people. Pasuk Yitches, Bekol Gadol Yehudis, he called out in Hebrew, everyone should understand the message, so he spoke in Hebrew, Liyaram Ulehav Holam, to cause them to be afraid and to terrorize them. Kan Sosam Inyan Melachim Mefurish Hetev Ma'amar Lohem Begam Yeshaya. There are more details exactly what he said to terrorize the people. Pasuk Yitches, Vaydamuel Elokei Yerushalayim. So it's a very interesting Rashi. Rashi here says, Misha Kosav Sefer Zeh, the person who wrote this book, Divrei Hayamim, who wrote this book? A joint effort. Ezra Nehemiah, Koivel is complaining. They're interjecting here their own words. There are certain things in Divrei Hayamim which was taken from other sources. There were books that were available, and records that were written by holy people, and they were just, you know, put together, compiled, and cut and paste to produce Sefer Divrei Hayamim. But there were certain things in Divrei Hayamim which were original to the people who actually compiled all of those psukim and perakim, and this is one example. The one who wrote this book, who koivel, he complains, al novel zeh, on this lowlife, this person who is a disgusting person, Sancheriv, Shecheraf Elokim Chayim, he blasphemized the living God. That is the theme. That this pasuk Yitzchak is an extremely important pasuk. That's, yeah?
The interjection
of something original. It's original, and being that it's original, in a certain way, it sets the tone, what makes this sefer unique relative to Melachim and Yeshaya. Melachim and Yeshaya are recording events as they happened. This is in retrospect. In retrospect, it's being used as a means to motivate the people living at the time of the Bayis Sheni to return and to come back to Eretz Yisrael. And we want to highlight certain very important points. And one point we want to highlight is, we have a living God, and the nations of the world have nothing. And look at the story. Don't be look what happened to us. We have the advantage of this. Sefer Divrayam, we know the end. And Sefer Melachim, Sefer Yeshayahu, we don't know what happens at this point in time. We're reading it as it's happening. It's happening, and we don't know. It could very well be. There'll be a slaughter. There'll be a holocaust. We don't know what's going to happen. The end of the day, there was a very great miracle. All of his soldiers, over 1 million soldiers, suddenly died. They died on the spot. The Malach killed them. So in Sefer Melachim Yeshayahu, you don't know that until it happens. But this is in hindsight. Sefer Divrayim, we know the end. We know the result. The result, the end of the story is they all died. And now we can look back and see what a rasha he was, Sancheriv, how he taunted Klal Yisrael with his blasphemy. And the key pasuk that really brings out Vaidabru El Elokei Yerushalayim, he spoke about Hashem, the Elokim Chayim, just like Hashem, Kaviyachol is Ka'al Elo, Elohei Amei Haaretz Maseh Yidei Ha'adam. So therefore, people living now during the time of the Bayis Sheni, don't fall for this. That's what the Ummus Olam say. They say the same thing to us. Why are the Jews better than the Goyim? They were no different than us. You also don't have a living God. No, you have to realize that's what's Apikursis, that's Sheker, and you see that from here. Okay, let's now go further. Paka'al Elokei Ame Aret Shehei Mas Elohei Ame Aret Shehei Masi the Adam Vidomo Eselokei Yitzreinu. He compared the God, our Creator, Yitzer HaKol, the Creator of all, LeElohei HaAmim Shehei Masi Yideim Kmo Shamar LeEl Nibuchol Elohei, like he said before twice, Ki Lo Yuchal Elokeichem LaHatzelaschem Yodi, like he couldn't save from the other gods. Okay, that's very, very powerful pasuk. Let's do a few more pasukim. Pasuk Chaf. So what happened? Vayispalel Yechizkiyahu HaMelech v'Yeshayahu ben Amos HaNavi al zos vayizaku hashamoyim. They were in a great danger and they cried to Hashem. Pasuk Chaval vayishlach Hashem alach. So what happened? Hashem sent the malach vayachid and cut off. The word vayachid means to cut, to destroy. Look at the Metzudos Tzion. Einyan kirisa kamo vatichad min aretz, to be destroyed from the earth. Kol gibor chayil v'nagid v'sar. We have over here a different expression you don't have in Sefer Melachim. We have a gibor chayil, that's one type of soldier. There's a nagid, a prince. Number three is a sar. Three different expressions. B'machne melech Ashur. V'yosha b'voshes ponim li'artso. He returned back to his land in the shame. V'yavo beis elohov. He went back to his idol. Umitzi'ei me'av. And his children. This means those who come forth from his inside. His children, his own sons, found him and they killed him. They killed him. So the miracle here, we just summarize the miracle very quickly. That's not the theme. The theme here is not to focus on the miracle. The miracle was, you know, it was the night of Pesach. He advanced. He laid siege. Lel Pesach. We make mention of this in the Piyutim at the end of the Seder. And miraculously that night a Malach came and wiped out over 1 million soldiers. The only survivor was, there's a Machlekes, how many survived? One says 10 survived, one opinion says 5 survived. The number of people that you can count on a finger, on your hand, which is 5. Another opinion says, different, what?
Just Sancheriv.
Sancheriv survived with a handful number of people. He survived. He went and he fled, and he was afraid to go back home, because in those days when he conquered other nations, the way he didn't, the other nations of the world would give to Sancheriv their children, their best, their children, and he would elevate the children to be generals and to serve in his army. Now, when Sancheriv would come home, he would have to face the parents of all of the children of the soldiers who died in this battle. And they would say, where's my Bechor? Where's my pride and joy? He died because of you. You were sloppy in war, that's why he died. How was he able to respond to 1 million parents? So he feared his life, so he couldn't go back home. He went to a different location and he shaved off his beard. Can you imagine what they would say about him in the Flavish Jewish Journal? He shaved off. In those days, everyone had beards. He shaved off his beard so that we would not recognize him. And in fact, it's a very interesting medrash. Who was the one that shaved off his beard? So it says in the medrash, Hashem. Hashem himself with the Sar HaSechira. Hashem took a razor and shaved off his beard. What? Hashem shaved off his beard. And then it says there he came upon the wood of the Teva. It's very bizarre. It's very bizarre. He was traveling in some land and he came across the wood of the Teva and he decided, you know what? I'm going to make the wood of the Teva as my new idol. And he worshipped the wood of the Teva, and his children found him and they killed him. Okay, there's a lot of interpretation of what it means, but he had a very ugly end. And that's what it says here, very succinctly in Sfib Sukkim. He pilish blessed to him in Pasach HaBel Tshimash HaBel Tshimash HaBel Tshimash HaBel Dalet. Vayosh HaShem Esich Hezkiel V'yes Yesh HaYishlam Miyad Sanchele Melchashu Miyad Kol from the hands of all of their enemies. Vayan Halei Misaviv. And he guided them with Nachas. That's what it says in the Mesudos. Inyan Hanhoga B'Nachas Kmo Almi Almei Menuchos Yen Haleini. You say that in Shabbos in Tehillim. Almei Menuchos Yen Haleini. HaShem guided them gently misaviv to save them from their enemies that surrounded them from all sides. Pasach of Dimav Rab Mevi Minchol Hashem LiYishalayim. When the world saw the great miracle, the world had respect for Klal Yisrael, and they sent gifts LaHashem LiYishalayim Umigdanos delicacies LiChizkiyahu Melech Yehuda VaYinasei LeEinei, and he was elevated LeEinei Kol Hagoyim MeAcherichein, and he was elevated to a very exalted level. This is a very great Kiddush Shem Shemayim. And the world came to give great honor and recognition to Yechizkiel. Let's see the Mesudos, only very few Mesudos. Pasek Yotes, Ma'aseh. Pasek Yotes refers to the Avodah Zarah, Asher Heim Ma'aseh De'odam, Pasek Hafalach Umitziah Bonof. His own children killed Sancheirev. Bonof Hemisu Asah Bebeis Elohov, Kemashama Bemelochim Beis. They killed him. His own children found him and they murdered him. Pasach HaBeis Vainalim Yisaviv Eskulam Yisaviv Noagam Benachas Uvechemla. Hashem guided them, all of them, Misaviv, from all sides. I'm not sure what that means. What does it mean over here? Anyone have an idea? Pasach HaBeis Hashem guided them Misaviv Vayenahalem Misaviv. Hashem guided the Jewish people from the side. Pasach HaBeis Es Kulam, all of them Misaviv Nahogam, he guided them Benachas Uvechemla. So what's the mean Misaviv? What does it mean for Misaviv? He guided them. For I have to look into that. Maybe tomorrow I'll find something. Okay. Pasuk of Gimel Mi'achri Chain Achash Nasle Hanes Azel Haye Menusa Mechubel Leinei Kol Ha'amim. He was elevated. He was respected by all the nations of the world. Pasuk Rashi and Pasuk Chav Vayispal Yichizkiel B'Malachim of Yishayim Mefresh Hatfila Pasuk of Aleph Mitzia Me'ev Kedusiv Bonav Yiku Bechar. The own children killed him. Vayispal Lashem. That's already the next chapter, the next section. Now this leads into the next section where, unfortunately, his success
went
to his head. And that led to a very big problem where he allowed the father of Nebuchadnezzar, or his grandfather, to see the Kalim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Beis HaMikdash, which led to Musa, a very powerful Musa Shmuz by Yeshaya, and which leads into Menashe and Amon and Yeshaya, and leads to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Yeah?
Doesn't it say somewhere that by the Shalosh Regalim, the Kohen Gadol always opened the Berechas to show the
Klal Yisrael? By the Shalosh Regalim, they opened up. Does say they opened up the Lechem Aponim, that it was steam. And then the Shal, it showed the Kodesh HaKadosh that the Kuvim were Murav and Zeb, they were embracing one another.
They would open it every Shalosh Gol.
So it could be that in Echnami that was meant for us, but it's not meant for a Goy. Chazal criticized that for Klal Yisrael, perhaps they are entitled to see what it looks like. But a Goy who comes from a faraway land, what business does he have seeing what's going on in the Beis HaMikdash? We know the Chel, a Goy is not allowed to come into the Beis HaMikdash. He can send Korbanos, but he may not enter. So Chazal was critical that he should not have gone too far. Yeshaya was critical. He went too far with the King of Babel. Okay, so it's a lot more to do, a lot more things to discuss. I have to prepare more. Lee Ned will pick this up tomorrow.